there be light? Because we read in the scriptures that before the creation of the world, God already had planned to send his Son to die so that we may live. See, Christmas is an amazing event, is an amazing day on a number of levels. One, because God came to be with us, but also because it was the birth of a king. But the king of a different kind of kingdom. In the first of our readings this evening, we actually heard about two kings. First was Caesar Augustus, Emperor of Rome, establisher, defender of the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. A peace that said, live in subjugation to us and our laws, and we'll get along just fine. An emperor who could give an order in Rome, and then throughout his empire, people had to comply to go and do this census so that Caesar Augustus could determine his military strength, his tax base, how great, how vast an empire did he have. Augustus, a man so powerful, the month of my birth was named after him, August. The other king was King David, a long dead Jewish king. A great king in the history of his people, very much so. But the real impact of King David historically actually has very little to do with him, but has to do with one of his descendants. A descendant that God made promises about through various prophets at various times in history, but a descendant who would, to summarize some of the promises, who would become king, who would be called God's own son, a king who would have an eternal kingdom. One of the titles of this descendant would be the Prince of Peace. See, already at the birth of Jesus, Luke in his gospel reminds us that there is actually a clash of kingdoms that is part of the Christmas event, the Christmas story. And it's not really a clash between Rome and Israel, but it's a clash between two completely different types of kingdoms. Rome, it was built upon military strength, economic power, social customs and laws. It was built for its citizens, not those who were outside its walls, its borders. It was a kingdom where you are either born a citizen or you had to earn your way into it, either by buying it or by serving in the military for 20 years. That's how you became a Roman citizen. It was not for those outside the borders. The other kingdom that Luke speaks of, that writes of in his gospel, the other kingdom that came in a unique and special and powerful way that Christmas night was the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. A king, the king of this kingdom didn't enter in a palace, but in a manger stall, surrounded by animals, not attendants. One whose birth was not greeted with by royalty, but by shepherds. This king, his birth announcement was given to those who were looked down upon by society. Those shepherds were not people who were well received or well regarded. They were the lowest of the low. But it was to them that God sent the announcement of the birth of his son. It's a kingdom that Jesus would grow up to teach about. A kingdom that was for all people. A kingdom you could not earn your way into, but rather you were invited, and the king himself paid the cost for our invitation. A kingdom that was actually built not for those inside, but actually a kingdom built for those who were outside of its borders. For all of us who are invited into the kingdom, our call is not to remain within, but to go back out and to invite others. A kingdom very different than the kingdoms of this world. One of my favorite authors is C.S. Lewis. And in one of his most well-known books, Mere Christianity, he talks about Christmas as an invasion. I was talking with Ginny earlier. One of the songs we're not singing tonight, I'm sorry, is Silent Night. Some of you may have to get over your disappointment right now. I want to emotionally prepare you for that disappointment. I had a struggle within myself. But it's to highlight one aspect for us this evening. In some ways, yes, it was a silent night, a holy night. But in other ways, it was not silent at all. Jesus was born amongst animals who are not known to be the most quiet and cooperative at all times. The angels were certainly not silent that evening, but just exploded with joy and rejoicing in the hills surrounding Bethlehem. And it wasn't a silent night in the sense that God had brought his kingdom into territory, into a world that was occupied by an enemy, and sent his son, in essence, to declare war against the kingdoms that would operate in ways and that do operate in ways and that operate today in ways completely opposed to God's character, God's nature, and God's heart for every human being. Christmas was an invasion. God himself left the safety of heaven and came as a child. What God does this? What king leaves his throne to invite others into his kingdom in such a way? See, Jesus came to show us a way of true peace. The Roman peace is not true peace. The Romans had peace as long as their military was stronger than everyone else's. As soon as they started to crack and crumble, peace left their empire. Jesus came to show a way of true peace, built upon the character and the love of God for all, expressed for all. I mean, to be blunt, Caesar's way of peace is often how much of our world works and often how we work at times. Do things my way and we'll be okay. That's not God's way. God's way was to come and meet with us and to build relationship with us. Jesus taught the way of peace was this: love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. Or you could put it this way: love God with everything you've got, love your neighbor with everything you've got. And if you're not sure who your neighbor is, Jesus also makes it pretty clear: love your enemy. Pray for those who would persecute you. Jesus taught, reconcile any strain in your relationship as far and as soon as you are able. Jesus taught that all people were to be equally loved because they're equally valued in God's eyes. And Jesus taught that any place where you and I fail to live up to that, the King himself will bear that cost. Christmas is a costly gift. It cost God much to come as a dependent, frail, defenseless child, so that we could know who he is. We could know that he knows us. Listen to these words from Paul. Your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Because of this, God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christmas was an invasion of God bringing His kingdom into our world so we could see there's another way to live. Because God is for us. God has not abandoned us. God has not forgotten us in a broken world where sometimes the brokenness in our lives is because of our choosing. Sometimes the brokenness in our lives or around us is because of the choices of others. God came into our broken world, invaded our broken world to bring healing. Christmas was, Christmas is, Christmas will always be an announcement of hope. Because God has acted and is acting today to bring healing and hope to those in need. But it requires something of us. Christmas cost God much. But to enter into the story of Christmas ourselves also costs us something. Christmas requires us to acknowledge that we need a Savior. That we can't live the way that God would have for us by our own power, by our own strength. We can't earn our way into His kingdom. That's why God doesn't require us to earn it. He has paid that cost. But for those of us, when we've been in a place of need, and you've had somebody offer you the resources, the means, the forgiveness to meet that need, to mend that relationship. And sometimes there's a struggle for us, isn't there? We can struggle to accept that gift. We can struggle to accept that forgiveness because we have to acknowledge that we don't have the resources within us to do it. We have to sacrifice the illusion of self-sufficiency. It hurts our pride. Christmas costs us something too, to truly enter in. But here's what God offers. It's what the angels sang about over the hills, what the shepherds heard. He offers peace. God offers us peace on earth, peace with Him, peace within ourselves. He offers us a way of peace in the relationships around us. The choice we have is whether we will follow His way, learn the ways of His kingdom, or whether we will follow the ways of the other kingdoms around us and look to find peace on our own terms rather than on His. One day Jesus will return as a conqueror. And in that day, there will be peace. But what we see in the Scriptures is it's going to be peace with those who have already entered that kingdom. And there will be some. There will be many left outside the gates. Not because of God's choice. Not because of God's inaction. Not because of God's desire or will, but because we've chosen to hold on to our kingdom rather than surrender and enter into His. But until that day when Jesus does return, Jesus said an amazing thing. Early in His ministry, He said that He was the light of the world. And about halfway through His ministry to those who were listening to Him, He made an incredible statement. He said, "You are the light of the world. Those who live within My kingdom, you are the light of the world. and you are to let your light shine to the world around you. Display the good deeds that you do in my name, so that others may see to know there's another way to live. So this evening, in that sense, we are going to light candles. Because Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And so at this time, I'm just going to pray in a moment, but at this time, I'm just going to prepare our ushers at the back to get ready, and then I'm just going to give you some instructions. But as we go through this evening, the rest, just a couple songs, then we'll close. As you hold that light, remember what Jesus has said of you. If you are a follower of His, you are the light of the world. Father God, what you have done for us through Christ is beyond words. Father, as we just do a simple action now of lighting a candle, Father, may it be a symbol for us of the calling you have placed on our lives. Father, thank you for placing your light within us by your Spirit. Thank you that, Holy Spirit, you dwell within us. And so it's not by our power, it's not by our strength, but it's by yours that we live and move and we have our being. Father, teach us to shine our light in greater and stronger ways in this broken world to your glory. Amen.